Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today we're going to look at a Bible story that's one of the most important stories in the Bible, but a lot of people don't know about it. If you ask people, do you know the story of Adam and Eve? Jonah and the big fish? Noah and the ark? David and Goliath? Oh yeah, we know those stories. But if you ask people, do you know what the exile is? A lot of Christians will go, huh? Well, one scholar said this about the exile. The 586 BC destruction of Jerusalem in Judah, southern Israel, is the subject of biblical prophecies that involve more verses than any other direct prediction in Scripture. 608 verses distributed among 17 different books of the Bible. So if you don't know what the exile is, please listen carefully. About 1400 BC, God sends Moses to get the Jews out of slavery in Egypt. It's called the Exodus. And eventually they enter the Promised Land. About 1000 BC, the Jews get their first king, King Saul, then King David, and King Solomon. But the Jews start going after false gods, worshiping the Baals. And God would send prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, warning them, you got to turn from sin. But they didn't. And so in 722 BC, God brings in the king of Assyria, and he wipes out northern Israel. Southern Israel, called Judah, still exists. Did they learn the lesson from what happened to their northern sister? No. They keep going back to the Baals, and the prophets keep saying, don't do this. But in 586 BC, God brings in the king of Babylon, who destroys Jerusalem, burns the temple of God, takes the Jews in captivity way over to Babylon for 70 years. For 70 years, the Jews have to serve as slaves to the king of Babylon. Then another king, Cyrus, comes and says, Jews, you can go home. The Jews return after 70 years. They rebuild their temple. That temple stands for 500 years until 70 AD, when the Romans destroy that temple and scatter the Jews, until 1948, after World War II, God let the Jews go back to the Promised Land, and now Israel is a nation again. That is what's called the exile. What I want to do for this program is to learn lessons for our lives from the exile. Would you turn with me in the Old Testament to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and let's pray first. Father God, we pray as we open the Bible, you'd open our ears, our hearts, open my mouth, and Lord, speak to us about America, about ancient Israel, and about our personal lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it's 586 BC. The Jews have been rebellious, and they get Zedekiah, their last king, before God sends the exile. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning at verse 11. King Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke for the Lord. First lesson for our personal lives, if you don't humble yourself, you will be destroyed. King Zedekiah, with his own eyes, had to watch his sons get killed by the king of Babylon. And then the king of Babylon gouged out Zedekiah's own eyes. And if you're proud, you'll be destroyed. When I think of the word pride, I think of Mussolini, fascist dictator during World War II of Italy. And have you ever seen the old newsreels? He'd be in front of the crowd and he'd be going, just pride exemplified. Well, then his own people hung him, and when the rope broke, you can see the newsreel of his own people kicking his dead body. Beware of pride. Beware of gay pride. Look at verse 13. And the king also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king of Babylon now, who had made him swear allegiance by God. King Zedekiah from Jerusalem, he stiffened his neck and he hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Here's the next lesson. If you harden your heart, you will be destroyed. You maybe have heard of Madeline Murray O'Hare, famous atheist, who in 1963 got the Supreme Court to ban prayer in public schools. Her atheist headquarters was in Austin, Texas. In the early 70s, I was a student in Austin, Texas. I remember one day there were posters up at the dorm, "Come and hear Madeline Murray O'Hare tonight." It was in the cafeteria. It was packed. Madeline Murray O'Hare gets in front of the students and she uses foul language about the Holy Spirit. One student said, "I understand you not believing in God, but why do you have to use such nasty words about the Holy Spirit?" And she said, "Because next time you're in church and you hear the words Holy Spirit, you'll remember what I said about the Holy Spirit." I mean, she was vile. Do you know how she died? Madeline Murray O'Hare, her son, and her granddaughter were kidnapped by their business manager, and she was killed and dismembered. Sooner or later, if you stiffen your neck against God and never repent, you'll be destroyed. That happened to King Zedekiah, and let's look at verse 14. Furthermore, now we're talking about the Jewish leaders, the religious people. Furthermore, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, the Baals and false gods. They defiled the house of God, the temple, which God had sanctified in Jerusalem. Here's the next lesson. God's house is polluted when we follow the nations. The Jews got into idolatry because they were following the nations. I want to tell you, I'm a pastor. I can say this. God's house, the Christian church in America, is polluted. Recently, I used to be an ELCA Lutheran. It has become so heretical. Recently, an ELCA Lutheran church put on a gay pride worship service. The pastor got in front of the church and read a children's story called "Twas the Night Before Gay Pride," and the drag queens were fluffing their hair with great care. A teenager gets up and shares how he's come out as transgender. Then the pastor, during communion, tells the people, "Bring me your trans bodies, your scarred bodies, your pierced bodies, your soon-to-be morphosized bodies." This is the church? And I'll say it again. The ELCA Lutherans, the PCUSA Presbyterians, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, these denominations and some others pay for abortions with offering dollars in the church's health care plan. God's house is polluted. And much as I don't want to say this, you know what I think the church in America needs? We need persecution. The church in China is persecuted. And they asked a pastor in China these questions. "Brother Lee, what would the church in China be like without persecution?" "The church would not grow, and there would not be revival. People would be caught up with pleasure and the current trends of society. The Church of China has grown and survived because of persecution. We don't like persecution, but every time it comes, we grow and we fall in love with God more. No persecution means we have lukewarm Christians with weak spiritual lives. In fact, without persecution, the number of churches in China would rise, but their devotion would fall." When we follow the nations, the church gets polluted. Look at verse 15. And the Lord, the God of the fathers, sent word to the Jews again and again by his messengers, the prophets, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, the temple. Here's the next lesson. God in his mercy always sends prophets. In the Old Testament, he'd send Daniel, Ezekiel, Habakkuk. In the New Testament, he sent John the Baptist. And I think God does send prophets to America. But is anybody listening? Again, I'm going to bring it up. 2009, the ELCA Lutheran Church is having its big convention in downtown Minneapolis to decide whether to start ordaining practicing homosexuals. A tornado comes, rips part of the roof off of the convention center. Liberal Central Lutheran downtown, across the street from the convention center, it was hosting the gay lobby. The tornado turned the iron cross on the steeple top upside down, and it hung there. And did they learn from that? Nope. The Central Lutheran Church, that was way back in 2009. Last week, Central Lutheran Church hosted the LGBT choir festival from around the country. God sends prophets, but is anybody listening? Verse 16. But they, the Jews, continually mocked the messengers of God, despised God's words, and scoffed at the prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose, talking about the king of Babylon destroying against his people, until there was no remedy. Here's the next lesson. If you are a prophet, expect rejection. My personality type is that I want everyone to like me. I don't like rejection. But when I was in the ELCA Lutheran Church for years, every year I had to go to the convention. Every year I felt I had to go to the microphone and say, why are we paying for abortions with offering dollars? Why is the bishop's office promoting homosexuality, etc.? Those days were very hard on me because they hated what I had to say. And now I have a national TV ministry. Do I get negative comments? Oh my. You know, I got to pray sometimes before I read some of the comments, but people don't like me. Now, overwhelmingly, our mail is positive. Thank you for following Scripture and speaking up about these things. Wish our pastor would talk about this stuff. So overwhelmingly is positive, but the negative can get very negative, and I don't like it. Well, I need to get over that. Because if you're going to stand for Christ, expect persecution. Verse 17. Therefore God brought against them, the Jews, the king of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, the temple, and he had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. God gave them all into his, the king of Babylon's, hand. Here's the next lesson. Rebellion will bring judgment. If you do what the Old Testament Jews did and you just continually harden your heart against God, you'll get judged. I don't know what's going to happen to the United States. At the moment, it does not look good. And Jesus himself said, unless you repent, you will all perish. Verse 18. And all of the articles of the house of God, the temple, great and small, and the treasures of the house of God, the temple, and the treasures of the king and of his officers, the king of Babylon brought them all to Babylon. Then the Babylonians burned the house of God. The temple was burned. And the king broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burned all of its fortified buildings with fire, and he destroyed all of its valuable articles. Here's the next lesson. Judgment includes the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, didn't just destroy Jerusalem, he also burnt down the temple. Let me show you a picture that I have in my house. Let me show you over here on a camera. This is York Minster Cathedral in England, built about 800 years ago. Big, gorgeous, beautiful church. Well, back in 1984, Bishop Jenkins was installed as a bishop of the Church of England. Bishop Jenkins rejected the virgin birth of Christ. He didn't believe Christ literally rose from the dead, but they installed him as a bishop at York Minster. 2 days later, lightning hit the building, burned down a good chunk of York Minster Cathedral, and even the secular press made the connection. And again, I'll bring up the Lutheran tornado in 2009. The tornado hits, and they still went ahead and voted to ordain practicing homosexuals. Do you know, in 1988, the ELCA Lutheran Church was formed. It was a merger. That was 1988. Fast forward to today, the ELCA has lost 41% of its membership. In other words, God's judgment includes the house of God. I mean, I will tell you that I went to Luther Seminary here in town, ELCA Seminary. They last year hired a queer theologian. They sometimes have prayers to Our Mother who art in heaven. I could go on and on, but you know what's happened to Luther? It's shrinking. They've had to sell off a number of their buildings. Two of the ELCA seminaries in Pennsylvania had to merge, and now their new president is a practicing homosexual. I mean, these liberal churches that are abandoning Scripture, again, United Church of Christ, Presbyterian Church, USA, now the United Methodist, they're just shrinking and dying. Why? Because judgment includes the house of God. Next verse is verse 20. And those who escaped from the sword, the king of Babylon carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. All the days of its desolation, those 70 years, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were completed. Here's the next lesson. You have to serve somebody. It's kind of like the Jews said, we don't want to serve Jehovah God. So God says, okay, for 70 years, you can serve the king of Babylon. I mean, there's that old Bob Dylan song. You're going to have to serve somebody. Oh, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Everybody is serving something. You might as well serve the true God who loves you more than anything. Verse 22. Now, this is 70 years later now, they come back. Now, in the first year of King Cyrus, king of Persia, that's a different king, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, that they'd be exiled for 70 years, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem. And that's in Judea. And whoever is there among you of all his people, all the Jews that are left in Babylon, may go up and be with his Lord, and the Lord be with him. You can go up. And the Jews, after 70 years in Babylon, this is called the exile, got to leave the exile, return to Jerusalem, rebuild their temple. So here's the next lesson. God controls political leaders. Cyrus was a pagan king. He didn't know the true God. God used him anyway to get the Jews back home to fulfill his prophecy. I think God can use pagan, atheist, communist. I think God can use Muslim terrorists to get people's attention if they start leaving the true God. And then verse 23, again, whoever is there among you of all his people, all the Jews that are left now after 70 years, may the Lord God be with them. Let him go up, and they get to go home. Here's the last lesson. God's mercy never ends. After 70 years of slavery in Babylon, God remembers his Jewish people, and he takes them back, and he forgives them, and he starts over. And then in 1948, after the Jews had been dispersed all over the world, the temple, the second temple, lasted until 70 AD. The Romans destroy the temple and the Jews. The Jews are scattered until 1948. After World War II, they get to go back home. Now, Israel, for the first time in about 2,000 years, it's a country again. Because, and here's my last point, God's mercy never ends. Yeah, he'll spank you, but there's still forgiveness with the Lord. I'll tell you, Martin Luther had a barber. One day, Martin Luther goes to the barber. Oh, Dr. Luther, I'm so sinful. I know that I'm going to hell because I've just sinned so much about God against God. I don't think there's any way he can forgive me. And Martin Luther said, "Sir, never be so vain to think that you can out-sin the grace of God." So if you're watching the show and you think you've sinned too much, there's no way God can forgive you and take you. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross, he covered all your sins. If you're sorry for your sin, even if you've done it time and time again, if you're sorry, come to Christ, ask his forgiveness, let him forgive you, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first questions today. What churches are still good that you would recommend?
Yeah, well, I just preached on the false teachings that have entered what used to be good denominations. The churches that have gone over the cliff, if I may put it that way, and a lot of them teach that Jesus is not the only Savior. There's various ways to be saved. They're universalists. Everybody goes to heaven. There's no hell. Abortion's fine. Gay sex is... Those churches are the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, more recently, the United Methodists, the Reformed Church in America, the Episcopal Church in America. Now, that's not to say that all the pastors believe in universalism, but a lot of them do. And so those are the churches that have gone bad. So what if you're a Presbyterian? You want to stay a Presbyterian, but you know you need to leave the PCUSA because they pay for abortions with offering dollars, and you don't want that. Well, then you go to the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America. If you're an ELCA Lutheran, then you leave and you join the Missouri Synod Lutherans or the Free Lutherans. If you're United Methodist, you leave and you become a Free Methodist. So there are good options for you, but you got to sort it out.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
All right. My brother converted to Lutheranism recently from Word of Faith Charismatic, and I am learning, and I am leaning that way myself. But I have a question about prophecy. What do the Lutherans believe about prophecy? What does it look like in modern operation? Are personal prophetic words or broad national prophecies something Lutherans believe in?
Well, definitely, if you're a Lutheran, you should believe in what's called the Second Coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. The basics of that are Jesus will come down in the clouds for every eye to see. All the dead are raised. Jesus judges every human that's ever lived. You go to heaven or hell, and then the earth melts with fire. Those are the basics. Lutherans are supposed to believe that. Then there's the detailed stuff where Christians just have to agree to disagree, and we have different views about, like, the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ in Revelation 20, and there's different things. But do Lutherans believe in prophecy? We do. What about people who say, well, you know, when Israel was invaded by Hamas, that fulfills Ezekiel chapter 14. I mean, all this stuff is super iffy. I don't get excited. I mean, Mona, do you remember this? Way back in 1988, a man wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Has to Happen in 1988. And people got excited about that book. What happened? Nothing. Mm-hmm. He had the nerve, if I remember right, to write a second book. 91 Reasons the Rapture Has to Happen in 1991. So if somebody does that kind of thing, I take that with a huge grain of salt. When people make them, you know, America has 5 years before it will be destroyed. How do you know? And they take a verse that they think says that, and it doesn't. So hold that with, I mean, if somebody gives you a word from the Lord, somebody comes up to church, Mona, the Lord told me. I mean, this happened to me. Pastor Brock, the Lord told me that Lorraine's going to be healed. Mm-hmm. I think about a week later, Lorraine was dead. And this was a woman who got a lot of words from the Lord. Well, Pastor Brock, the Lord now told me that she's alive and healed in heaven. Well, okay, but that's not what you said. So just, I think you have the right to question and beware of words from the Lord, which people might sincerely, I mean, I think this woman was sincere. Mm-hmm. She wanted to believe it so bad that it became, don't confuse your emotions with the Lord. Don't put your words in the mouth of God. Be very careful about that.
Amen.
So there you go.
I want to move some items from one location to another. I am planning on a Sabbath. Am I in sin for this? I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need advice, please.
Well, the Old Testament Jews were told to observe the Sabbath. That was Saturday. They weren't to do any work on the Sabbath. That was given to the Old Testament Jews. As far as New Testament Christians, I don't think we're commanded to observe the Old Testament Sabbath. I mean, a lot of the early Christians were slaves. They couldn't have taken one day a week off if they wanted to. So I wrote this man. I told him, I think it's okay to move furniture on Saturday or Sunday. You know, Christians, most of us worship on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Seventh-day Adventists worship on Saturday. But I think the some of those Old Testament laws, like when you sin, kill a lamb and go to the temple, mm-hmm. or the priest will kill the lamb when you take it. We don't do that because Christ is our sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You can't eat pork in the Old Testament. But in Mark chapter 7, Jesus declared all foods clean. Some of the Old Testament sacrificial laws were fulfilled in Christ, and we can have a hot dog. Now, the moral law of the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill, honor your parents, that's all still in force. Mm-hmm. But the what they call the sacrificial laws, the food laws, the dietary laws, I think they have been fulfilled, and Christians can eat pork.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you get those little booklets that you hand out?
Well, let me see here. Here's the little booklets I hand out. They're called the Four Spiritual Laws, and I order a ton of these. I put them in my pocket. And just try it. I mean, I started this a few years ago. I give these out kind of a lot. And I'm as nervous about sharing my faith as anybody else. But it happens. So here's the phone number if you want to order a ton of them. There's little salvation books on how to receive Christ. Call 800-827-2788. That is, it's not our number. It's a national number, 800-827-2788, and you ask for the Four Spiritual Laws. There you go. I get that question now and then.
Yes, you do.
So there you go.
Do we have time for one more? We have only 30 seconds.
No, we don't. So thank you for catching that. And everybody, just thank you for watching this program. Pray for us. Our giving has been in a slump now, and we don't want to have to cut back on the number of TV stations we're on, which we'll have to do if we don't get the funding. So pray for us. If the Lord nudges you to support us, you'll see an address in a minute. You can go to our website and you can support us there. But God bless you this week.
Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Thanks for joining us today. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.